This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website. You can read the weekly meditation that I post there. You can contact me through the website or through regular mail if you would like to have a copy of this program on a CD, or if you would like to be added to the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. So if you're interested in my mailing address or website address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue on our journey through Acts chapter 28. We noted last time that Paul had ended up on an island called Malta, and the people on Malta had been kind to him, had shown him no little kindness. It was an island that they had never intended to visit, but because of storms and because of providential circumstances, Paul, the best evangelist that the world has likely ever known apart from the Lord himself, was cast upon that island, and it shows to me that God does love people who we would call from places that generally would not be reached with the gospel. We call them places of darkest Africa. We use that term, and darkest Africa is probably not as dark as some of our big cities, maybe even some of our rural areas in the United States, but nevertheless, the Lord loved these people. They were natives of an island that would not normally have been reached with the gospel apart from a storm and apart from Paul's desire to go from Caesarea to Rome in order to defend himself against the charges that Jews had made against him in Jerusalem. So these people were reached with the gospel, were told about the gospel because of the circumstances that God had brought into Paul's life. And I believe it shows God's love for people like this. Now, the natives of Malta had been helped by Paul, and now they help Paul as he leaves. We read in Acts 28 and verse 10, they also honored us in many ways. Remember now, Luke is traveling with Paul and is writing this. Luke the physician, the one who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So they were a people who were hospitable, did what they could to help strangers, perhaps better than we do in our own day when we supposedly are responsible for helping the poor and for helping travelers and so forth. Because of the day in which we live, we often delegate that responsibility to others or perhaps delegate it to the government. But these people did what normal people should do. Now, I don't know if they did it because they wanted to help Paul in his Christian work, or if they did it just out of the kindness of their heart. But they had heard the gospel. They had had their people healed. They had been blessed. And the Lord says that if we preach the gospel, we should live of the gospel. It doesn't mean that we charge for our services, but we should live of the gospel. And elders that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor or double honorariums. And so we see that there is a responsibility on the part of those who have received a blessing to bless those that they have received the blessing from. And these people apparently caught on to that real quickly, and they helped Paul. Now, Paul could have stopped on this island and looked at them as the enemy, looked at them as people he didn't want to get to know, but Paul didn't do that. They showed him kindness, he showed them kindness, and they got along. And so we need to remember that we need friends. Paul had made friends of those on this island, and while we don't really read in the passage that they became believers, I have a suspicion that many of them did. And so now this is a very profitable visit that was unexpected because of a storm, and so we want to go on and read from Acts 28 and verse 11. After 3 months we sailed in an Alexandrian ship, whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And from there we circled round and reached Rhegium, and after 1 day the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli. I can't say these names properly. You'll have to forgive my English accent for Greek names. But it says, when they got to this particular place, there we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us at Appii Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now you'll notice that as Paul goes on this trip, he's found a safe haven on Malta that he didn't expect. But as he goes on the trip, he seeks out the true believers in the area where he is going. I remember a day when, if I knew Christians who were going on what they called vacation or holiday, they would always map out where other Christians worshiped that they could be in fellowship with, and they would make sure that on the Lord's Day they were at a small group of Christians, an assembly, a church where they could worship. Sometimes they would have met people at conferences, and sometimes they would have met them through their travels, and they would go and visit them on those journeys. It seemed as though the highlight of a vacation was visiting with other Christians. I don't hear that being done so much now. We do go visit our friends, but we're not as prone to line up our itinerary based on the Christians we can visit. Now, Paul didn't really line up his itinerary expecting to visit Christians, but that was the joy that he was able to get involved in as he went along. There were Christians who he heard about, or who heard about him, and they were able to get together. And if we're all truly saved, we have something in common. I remember when I lived 100 miles from the assembly that I was associated with, and we drove every Sunday to be there. We would be there when people 6 blocks away would have thought the weather was too bad to be there. But the reason we went was because the place I was working at that time was not a place where I could have a lot of fellowship with other Christians. I had to be on guard. I had to be watching what I said. I had to try to testify to the truths that I believed, but I was testifying to people who didn't share my interests. Now, there were a few that did, but by and large, they didn't share my interests. But when I drove that 100 miles on Sunday morning and found that group of Christians that I had known for some time who shared my interests, I could just sort of relax and be encouraged and worship the Lord with them, knowing how they thought and knowing that their thinking was much like my thinking. We need one another. And we find that while we are supposed to separate from unbelievers, we are supposed to be united with believers. And Satan tries to get us to reverse that. He tries to get believers divided, and he gets us to unite with unbelievers. And that's the reason sometimes we're so weak today. But Paul found himself encouraged by those who came and looked him up. And as we read here, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. In other words, it encouraged him in the trip that he was making. Now, verse 16 says, "Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." It's quite clear in my mind that on this whole trip, Paul had conducted himself in such a way that the Roman centurion respected and trusted him. People who don't understand why we do what we do should still see that our belief is a real belief in a real living God, and that it causes a change in our lives. We take an interest in other people who do not share our beliefs. We try to help them. We try to encourage them. We try to share our beliefs with them. But most of all, we try to live an honest life, an honorable life, so that others will look at us and say, "You can depend on that person." And so when it came to Paul, it appears that by this point, the centurion realized that he was not the troublemaker that he was made out to be. And so he was able to be granted some liberty that the other prisoners were not granted. He was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And so as we come down through this passage, I'm not going to read all of it, but it appears that Paul gathered the Jews together, presented his case to the Jews who did not know that he had been charged with this terrible crime of insurrection, and not really insurrection, but it was a crime of defiling the temple. They didn't know about it, but they knew about this sect. And so they said they wanted to hear, in verse 22, we want to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. And at that time, Christians were considered a sect of Judaism. But Christianity is not a sect of Judaism. Judaism has rejected the Lord. Christianity is that new thing that has resulted as a result of believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as a result of understanding that Christ has declared who God is. He has told us that as sinners we need a Savior, and He's that Savior. And this is not a new sect, a new division of Judaism, a new division of the Jews. It's something new altogether. And so we've come to the church, which is now the spiritual people that God has chosen to bear testimony to Him on earth. And we have that joy of doing that. So it says, when they had appointed a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained solemnly and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. So he had long meetings with them, but you'll notice in verse 24, we have a solemn, eternal division. There were some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. And you know, it's always that way when we preach the gospel. There are some who hear it, and it strikes a chord with them. They understand their need of a Savior. They understand that they're sinners. They understand that they aren't prepared to meet God. They've wondered how to solve that hunger that's in their heart for righteousness, which they know their own lives have not solved. We don't need to have people tell us we're sinners, because our own consciences tell us that. And so they find out, why, here's the answer. Here's Christ, and they respond. And there are others who are not going to submit to the claims of Christ, no matter what evidence is presented to them that these things are real and that they need to prepare for eternity. We always see this great division. There are those who believe, and that there are those who don't. John 3:18 says that God came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so the real question is, today, when we think of this great divide, it's a divide for eternity. Are you one who is a believer and who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with your soul for eternity? Have you been saved? Have you been forgiven with regard to your sin? Or are you an unbeliever who will not submit yourself to the claims of Christ and who is headed for a lost eternity? We trust you're a believer. Our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless our listeners. We thank Thee for Thy love, in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.